We have come together this afternoon to partake of the Lord's Supper. I'd like for us to turn for just a few minutes to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It is in this chapter that the Apostle Paul records his instructions to the church concerning the Lord's Supper. Just going to begin reading at verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." I want us to think for just a few moments this afternoon before we partake of the bread and the wine, and just for a few minutes about the body and the blood. It took the total sacrifice of Christ to satisfy the Father, to satisfy the wrath of God against sin. I'm having trouble with my throat this afternoon, but as we think about the body, God laid everything upon Christ that was necessary to be able to forgive our sins. And when I think about the body of Christ, first of all, I go all the way back in the Old Testament to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. And I want us to turn there this afternoon. It's a passage of Scripture that is well known to us, but yet how refreshing it is to read and consider what Isaiah says here in this 53rd chapter. And as I read it, I think of how that God laid upon Christ the body of Christ, how he laid upon the body of Christ the punishment of our sins. The body of Christ and the punishment that was meted out to him signifies the wrath of God upon sin, or for sin. Of course, here's the wonderful part about it. The first thing that Isaiah notes is, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" What a wonderful thought it is today for you and for me, if God has indeed revealed his arm, especially as it meted out the penalty, the punishment of our sins upon the body of Christ. Who hath believed his report? The implication here, of course, is nobody except who? God's people, the remnant, the elect of God, it's limited, the atonement of Christ is limited to the elect of the Lord Himself. So it's a wonderful thing that as we think about the body and the blood of Christ, how marvelous is it that He has revealed it to you and to me. Why? Why would He do that? What was there about you and me that would cause Him to do this? Why did He elect us? We don't know why particularly it was us, but we know the purpose for which He did it, and that is to the praise of His glory in Christ Jesus. Now, why He chose me or why He chose you to receive that great, wonderful gift, only God knows the answer to that. But we rejoice in that. But as we look at this, we think of, or I do, I think of the body of Christ. Verse 3, He says, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Does it hurt for people to despise you? Is it painful for people to despise you, to reject you? It is a grief, isn't it? It hurts. It is not bodily pain, maybe physical pain, I should say, but it does hurt. He is not only rejected of men, but He was forsaken of God. But we go on. It says, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken and smitten and afflicted. But note, it says, of God. Now, it's not speaking here of God literally doing this, except in the sense that He brought forth those wicked men to do everything to that body that they could possibly do. They laid upon it the stripes. They laid upon it they struck Him with their hands. They whipped Him. They beat Him. Everything that they could think of, they did to the body of Christ. And I see in that, that's what sin does. It destroys. It's evil. It hurts. It destroys. It kills. What other terms could we use to describe what sin does? It just destroys everything. We see Him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes, the stripes that He bore. I wish I had the words to properly describe what was born by our Savior in His body. Of course, we know the thorns were platted and it was pressed in upon His head. As we said a while ago, they spit upon Him in despising Him and dishonoring Him. We know how they beat Him with the rods, and they beat Him with the the cat of nine tails until the blood ran out of it. Then they nailed him. They nailed him to that tree. They did everything they could, but that's what sin does. Sin destroys the body, and sin is always painful. There's nothing good about sin. Christ bore everything that sin could mete out. He bore it in his body. Of course, the ultimate thing is, and we go back here to verse 4, when he says he was stricken and smitten of God, certainly that God, the Father, brought forth these wicked men to beat and bruise his body, to smite him. But I think this has more to do here with God the Father's abandoning, if you will, forsaking Christ upon that cross. Of all that happened to him, and listen, even the forsaking of the Father, Christ bore, as it were, in his body, because it was born in his mind, in his spirit, in his soul. How can we envision what Christ bore in his body? Now, mankind, again, has, I suppose, from shortly after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, has tried to come up with a way to depict, to picture what Christ bore, what he suffered as in his trial and in his crucifixion. And they've come up with some pretty gruesome pictures, haven't they? They have. And it does, even that stirs the emotion, it stirs the excitement of our feelings. But it is only as we truly understand the penalty of sin, eternal damnation, that we can truly begin to understand and comprehend what Christ bore in his body that day upon the tree. Verse 6 here, he says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." That is what we are celebrating today. That is what we are commemorating today. That is what we are honoring today. That is the memorial that we are celebrating today. That God the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. How do you comprehend that? Every one of the elect of God, God laid upon Christ the iniquity. Do you know why your body hurts? You know why your body is sick? It's because of sin. Sister Joyce, how bad does your body hurt sometimes? Pretty bad. Sometimes it gets to bad to be where we just can't hardly stand it, can we? It gets to hurting so bad. But multiply that by millions, and that's what God laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ, what He bore in His body, what sin can do to one person, God laid upon Christ all of the multitudes that He determined to save. And Christ bore that in His body upon that tree. I don't know how to express it more explicitly than that. But in verse 7, he says, He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. And He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living, but not for Himself, right? For the transgressions of His people was He stricken, and He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death. The final ignominy. The last and greatest indignity that they can heap upon Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who created all things by the breath of His mouth, the one who is the personification of love and joy and peace, the one that is the only good, and yet He condescended to this treatment at the hands of not just His created, but that which He created that had gone astray. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. But listen, here comes the blood part of it. Jesus bore the punishment of sin in His body upon that tree. But by His blood, He satisfied. Ultimately, finally, He satisfied. Always, for always and forever, He satisfied. He poured out His blood, and by the pouring out of His blood, He satisfied the wrath of God forever. For all of those for whom it was shed. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now we talk about the blood of Christ, being washed in the blood of Christ. And certainly this is a biblical term, isn't it? What a wonderful thing. He bore our iniquities, our transgressions in His body upon the tree, but it was by His blood then that we are washed clean from our sins. This is what we are looking at and thinking about today as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Do you understand by what means he made intercession? It was by his blood. How precious do you think the blood of Christ is to the Father? How precious is the blood of Christ to me? How precious is it to you? This is the ultimate gift, if you will, of the Son to the Father. When he took that blood and went into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled it there upon the true altar as a true sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Oh, how pleased was the Father. Was he pleased with his suffering in the body? Yes. But the most pleasing thing of all was the blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. As we think about these things, may it please God indeed to stir up our remembrance. Oh, lest we forget, even for a moment, lest we forget how precious is the blood of Christ and the body by which he bore our sins and carried with him to that grave the punishment of all our sins. And when he rose again, he rose to the right hand of the God the Father, and he sits there now, and I am sure that it's not long until he will return. Until then, we remember his death. But when he returns, what a joy that will be, and rejoicing. What praise will come forth. Now, the Bible tells us, he said, do this in remembrance of me until I return, right? He says, until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom of heaven. You know, I don't know what all that means. But I do know this, that for right now, the punishment of my sin was laid upon him. And the shedding of his blood signified the end of all of God's wrath towards me. Can we partake of this, the body of the blood of Christ, in these symbols, remembering the greatness and the blessedness
of his sacrifice. Does anybody have any thoughts that you would like to share with us this afternoon before? Anything concerning this body and blood of Christ?
I had this one thought that's when the fire came down from heaven on the altar and consumed it every thought.
That's true. Symbolizing again the complete sacrifice and the total satisfaction of God.